So I think most of you have been here probably every time I've taught past several months on identity stuff, identity in Christ. So I won't review that too much, but I kind of want to continue on a little bit with just another aspect of that. I think there's just so much to that that it's kind of hard to exhaust that topic. I kind of just wanted to give a more practical way of how we walk in that. It's one thing to know that we have this new identity in Christ, but how does that work? How does that actually affect our lives? And just a practical way to actually walk in that. So first, I want to just two examples: Ephesians 5:8, and then also turn to 1 Corinthians 6:9, and these are just two examples of the Bible giving a description of our new identity. So I just wanted to look at those and see what the Bible actually says about new identity. And this is just a couple places out of a lot of places that explain just that newness of life that God has put in us because of the finished work of Christ. So Ephesians 5:8. This is one that I think Faith says I talked about already, but it's one of my favorite identity verses that describe that newness, that transformation that we have in Christ. So he says in Ephesians 5, verse 8, he says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true." So he starts out, it's like he does away with that first, that identity that used to define us. He does away with that, and then he explains our new identity. He says, "You once were darkness." That means that at one time our whole hearts, our minds were darkened, our spirits were dead. We had no spiritual anything. We're just dead. So he's saying, that's what you once were, but now you're this. And then if you look at 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11. So Paul's talking to the Corinthians. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And then he says this. He says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So again, you see Paul saying, this is what you were. He's saying, you were, he lists all these sins. And he says, these sins, these sinful attitudes and desires and mindsets are what used to define you. But now, that no longer defines who you are. But now what defines who you are is you're washed, sanctified, justified. And I was talking to Faith about this the other day. It was like in the morning and we were talking. And I just thought of this verse, and so I just kind of challenged us. I said, today, I read this, and I said, let's just, how often do we spend our day thinking of ourselves as being washed, sanctified, and justified? I feel like most of the time I go throughout the day just kind of subconsciously almost considering myself to be this old identity. Paul talks about this old identity of, says, you were once darkness, but now you're light. And he's saying, you were once adulterers and idolaters and pretty much you were once sinners, but now you're not. And I think so often we can even subconsciously without realizing it, just in our own mindsets, we just kind of consider ourselves to still be sinful people that God is just kind of putting up with by his grace. We don't really think of ourselves as being washed and sanctified and justified. So I just challenged me and Faith that day that we would, by faith, just walk out that day thinking of ourselves as this, as what God says we are. So those are just two examples of identity. and that all has to do with, that's not just something that we are on our own. All that is because of Jesus Christ. It's because of his finished work. That's just part of the package that we get with when Jesus died for us. He didn't just give us forgiveness of sins and freedom out of hell. He gave us a completely new identity, and that's the gospel. That's the gospel is the good news. And so sometimes I think we limit it to just that very first part that he gets us freedom from the penalty of sin. But that's just like a small little part of the great, awesome fullness of what Christ has done for us. And I think this is a huge part of it, just that new identity. And so again, this isn't just positive thinking. This isn't just try to believe that you're just this good, awesome person. You know, that's kind of a new age type idea that you just kind of believe that you're something, believe that you can do anything. And that's not what this is. This is based on the facts of what we actually have in Christ. This is a spiritual reality that when we trust in Christ, by God's Spirit, he puts inside of us Christ. He puts Jesus is now inside us, and everything that Jesus is inside of us. That's a spiritual reality. It's not positive thinking. It's not, whatever you'd call that. It's just simply knowing what is true and believing it. So why is this important? Why is this even, why does this even matter? I think that there's a divine order laid out in the New Testament to having victory, walking in victory over sin, over discouragement, over guilt, condemnation, all these things that define that Adam nature in us, that the fallen Adam part of us, that is separated from God. We all have that part of us, that old man, the flesh. and I think the Bible lays out a way to walk in victory over that, to put that old self to death. And I think there's an order to that. And I think so often what we do is we'll start out our day saying, okay, I have this whole day, I have struggles before me, I have possible temptations, I have fears, I have whatever. I need to start fighting against those right now. I need to get into battle right now and fight against those things. And there's some truth to that, but I think there's a first step that we're missing. And I think this is the first step that we need to rest first. We first need to know who we are, and then we get into the battle, if that makes sense. So if you see in that, in Ephesians, like we just read, Paul says, he first says, this is the order all throughout the New Testament. He says, you are children of light, so walk in the light. He doesn't say, walk in the light and try to be children of light. He says, first, know, get in your mind, believe that you are a child of light, and then walk in the light. And if you try to do it the other way around, it's not going to work. And you're going to struggle. You're going to wonder why it's so hard. You're going to wonder why it's not working out. And it's because we got to rest in Christ. We got to rest in who we are first. And then we walk in victory. We got to fight from the place of resting in Christ. And this is something that I know Sam teaches all the time, and we all know, but I think we forget. We forget constantly. And Paul says in Colossians that just the same way that you receive Christ as Lord, so walk in him. And I think we receive that. We receive his grace, but then we kind of stray from it, and we start sourcing them from our own strength. So I think this is important. Knowing our identity is important because of that order, that Paul lays out that order, that we must first know our identity in Christ, and then we can walk in victory. I think it's also important because I think that we are what we believe. You know, that phrase that says you are what you eat, I think we are what we believe. I think if we live our lives thinking, meditating and considering ourselves to be slaves and strugglers. I'm just a struggling sinner. I'm just a weak, helpless, you know, dirty man that thank God he's gracious, he's forgiven me, but I'm still just this weak, helpless sinner. if we think that way, I think we're gonna feel that way. We're gonna relate to God that way. We're gonna relate to other people that way, and our desires are gonna line up with who we're thinking we are. So, if I'm thinking and considering myself to be a slave, I'm going to act and think and feel and behave like a slave. But if we start by faith, looking at Jesus, looking at who he is, looking at what he's accomplished and freely given to us, and I start to know my identity in Christ, and I believe that I'm a son, I'm going to think like a son, I'm going to feel like a son, I'm going to desire like a son. So I think it's hugely important to do that. And I think it's how we see ourselves. I'm learning this, walking this stuff out, learning this stuff, and then talking to Faith about it and trying to figure out how to walk in this better. I'm learning that the way I see myself as a Christian, the way I view myself and my spiritual condition is a direct reflection, I think, of how I see God. So if I'm seeing myself as guilty, condemned, and weak, and just a struggling sinner, or put in there whatever faulty thinking, that whatever false view of yourself you carry, put that in there. And those thoughts, I think, are a reflection of how I see God. So when I'm thinking that I'm just a condemned, guilty, whatever person, just a struggling sinner who just has to try to get by in this life and try not to sin, whatever, that's showing me that I'm not really seeing God accurately. I'm not really seeing him as my father. I'm not really seeing him as the one who gave, that became a man and died and freely gave himself for me. Because when I see him like that, when I see him as my father, when I'm seeing him as a God who loves me, truly loves me, then I think it's easy for us to think of ourselves as sons and to think of ourselves as washed and sanctified. But when we're seeing God wrong, it's really easy to think of ourselves in a wrong way. This is probably kind of deep, almost psychological stuff, but I just encourage you to just pursue this stuff and dig into this stuff personally, just discovering what God really says about that transformation that he's done in you and that new identity he's given to you. I think it's so huge, so important. So just quick, how do we do this? How do we actually apply this? How do we walk this out? What does the Bible say about how we walk in this? Romans 6, actually turn to 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to jump around several places in there, but I'm sure you guys all know the verse in Romans 6 where Paul says, you must consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God. And I think that's the most basic command and the most simplified way that we're supposed to walk this out. He says, you must consider yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God. So the way that we walk in our new identity is by considering it to be true, is by reckoning it to be true. We look at what God says and we say, he calls me a son, so whether I feel it or whether I see evidence for that, I'm going to believe it because he says it. So 1 Corinthians 4, or 2 Corinthians, sorry. 2 Corinthians 4. starting in verse 18. So he says, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So Paul's saying, we look at things that are unseen, we don't look at the things that are seen. Now this will explain a little bit more. Now skip to verse 7 and chapter 5. Now he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So the way to walk in our new identity, the way to actually to walk any way that we're going to walk out the things that God has told us to walk out in the Bible, we have to do it by faith, not by sight. God is always telling us things and saying, this is the truth. But then when you look around at reality, it's like you don't see evidence for it. When I read in the Bible, God says, you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified, you're a son, you're a child of light. My temptation is to immediately, I think all of our temptation is to immediately look inward and to be like, okay, well, what's the evidence for that? What is this attitude good? Is this mindset good? Am I loving this person enough? To start looking inward and look for evidence and like, okay, God, you say I'm a son. So I'm going to look around. I'm going to see if that's really true. And I'm going to look at myself. I'm going to look at my circumstances to see if that's true. And Paul here is saying that's not the way. He says we look at things that are unseen, not at the things that are seen. And he says we walk by faith, not by sight. So Romans, you don't have to go there if you don't want, but Romans 4, I think Abraham is a really good example of this. And I think this is a really good parallel for us of how to walk this out. So I'm just going to start reading verse 13. For the promise to Abraham and to his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law. Actually, skip down to 16. He says, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and he calls into existence the things that do not exist. And this is kind of the key section. He says, in hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations as he had been told. So shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, and he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So this is, God gave Abraham a promise. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to give you children. He gave this word of promise to Abraham. And in the same way, God's given this word of promise to us. He's saying to us, you are my sons and daughters. You are children of light. Because of Jesus' finished work, you are dead to sin. It no longer has power over you. You are free, and you have spiritual completeness in Christ. It's yours. This is God's promise to us, just like it was God's promise, God promised to Abraham. And look what Abraham did. It doesn't say that Abraham heard this. It does say Abraham heard this promise, and it says he didn't consider his own body, which was as good as dead. And I think that's exactly what I was talking about earlier, is exactly what we can do when we hear these promises and doubt arises in our hearts, and we start to consider the situation. We start to consider our own merit, our own abilities, and we say, again, God says, I'm a son. We look inwardly, and we start to consider our own hearts. We say, well, I don't really act like a son. I don't really think like a son. I don't really behave like a son, so I don't really think I am a son, or I don't really feel like it. And this says that's the exact opposite thing that Abraham did, and that's the exact opposite thing that we need to do. This says that Abraham knew. He knew that his body was as good as dead. God was telling him something, giving him a promise that was just absolutely impossible. There was no physical way that was going to happen. And Abraham could have looked at that. He could have looked at his own wife. It says her womb was dead, and his own body was dead. He could have looked at that and been like, God, you're giving me this promise, but this is just the situation, the circumstances are already impossible for that to be true. How can I believe that? But this says that Abraham didn't do that. Instead, he simply believed what God had said because God is faithful, and Abraham knew that God is faithful. Abraham believed that God cannot lie, so if God says something, if God said something about him, he knew that was true, even though the whole situation, all the evidence said the exact opposite. So Abraham did, I think, what Paul was saying to do in 2 Corinthians, where Abraham was looking at the things that he could not see. He was looking at the things that he did not see. Abraham could have looked and focused on the things that he did see, but he chose to look at the things that he did not see. And in the same way, that's how we're called to walk out the entire Christian life and this stuff here, is that we're called to take this stuff, hear God's promises to us, and take it by faith, to not look around, not look at, try to find evidence that proves that what God is saying is true, but we hear what God says, and we know it's true because God is faithful. And I love how it says, this wasn't written for him only, but it is also, it says in the bottom of Romans 4, it says, it was written for us also, and it will be counted to us. So we're children of Abraham to the extent, we're like Abraham to the extent that we have that same faith as he had. It says that it'll be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord. So that's what this all comes back to. Again, I can't stress that enough, that this isn't positive thinking. This isn't us saying, you know, we're awesome, you know, you're great, you can do it, you know, that type of mentality. You see those posters that are just trying to boost human ego. That's not what this is. At the end of the day, this is the only thing, the only way we can live the Christian life that gives glory to God, because this is what gets all of the merit off of ourselves, and it gets it onto Jesus and what he's done. When we completely get our eyes off of anything that we have or anything we have to offer or can do, and we're completely resting on God's promises to us and what he's told us he's done for us in Jesus. And so, yeah, I just love how it says that. It's not going to be, this isn't going to work only for Abraham, but this is going to work for us. This is going to be, that same righteousness is counted to us who simply believe God's promises. So, that's just my encouragement from that, is just that you would obey. In Romans 6, when Paul says, he says, you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's a commandment that we can obey or we can disobey throughout the day. I think it's disobedience, and it's insulting to God and Jesus when we're living out the day considering ourselves to be alive to sin, and we consider ourselves to be slaves. In our mind, we're caring about ourselves as if we are still slaves, we're still powerless, we're still guilty, and some of us, you know, it's not like it's always that full, and it's just like we're just living in this constant state of that, but I think all of us have little pieces of that, and little moments of that, and little periods of those moments. And what that is, according to this verse, I believe, is it's disobedience. It's disobedient to not believe what God says about us, to not reckon ourselves to be who God says we are, and to walk in that. So my encouragement there is just to be obedient to that, to be, by faith, considering yourself to be who God says you are. And I think this is all just goes back to Jesus's, I just love his final words on the cross. He said, it is finished. So he was saying nothing else needs to be done. Everything you need is complete. It's finished. I've given it to you. Receive it. Believe it. Walk in it. So again, this is how we give glory to God, is by taking God's promises to us, his promises to us in Christ, and resting on them in faith. So I'm going to pray real quick. Father, thank you, God, for our completeness in Christ. Thank you for all of your promises, Lord, for our new identity, Lord, that you have put in us by your Spirit. You've put fullness in us. You've given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. And I pray that you would help us to understand that, to see that more clearly, to walk in that more fully. And just pray that you would, or just open our eyes to know the things that you have freely given us, to walk in that, to walk in freedom and the victory, the power that is our inheritance in Christ. In his name.